Yes. Why are the jewels of the Ottoman Empire important or significant for to be in the last resort? What is the importance of the jewels?
Just their significance of how they were placed in the time space.
You mean for the launching?
Yes.
Into the rift and those kind of activities?
No, just a representation thereof.
Of the rift?
Yes.
Oh, so the jewels were used in secret lessons, in secret teachings.
That's a stretch, but yeah.
Well, they weren't shown in the marketplace, and right? They weren't these courses how to do it. These demonstrations, symbolic presentations of the maneuvers, were not presented in the marketplace, were they?
No.
Right. They were presented in the palace, maybe, among the elite in the palace.
The Coptic palace of the Byzantine Ottoman Empire.
Right. And so the Byzantine Empire was Christian. So did that was built, oh no, it began in Constantinople. That's for Constantine. It's interesting, Carol. The Christian church began in Istanbul today.
Right.
The Constantinople. So whatever was that would be where the Ark and a lot of these precious artifacts would have passed through. Because Rome collapsed.
That's correct.
Ah, so when I think of the Ottoman Empire, I think of the 1500s, but we're talking 1,000 years before that. So that clarifies. So the Christian church, Coptic division, became the repository of a lot of the sacred artifacts.
Yes.
And that would include the Ark of the Covenant?
No.
Was that kept in the Hebrew line? How did it get removed from the Jews? From there?
Wasn't there a conquest where it was removed from the temple?
Oh, well, it's Babylon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be the collapse of the temple. Your speakerphone is a little blurry, so I guess it's okay.
That's because you keep falling in the bucket, Bob.
Yes, the your phone.
Yeah, we get in this bowl and it keeps vibrating or something and falls out.
Oh, okay, good. So that's really interesting. So you got Babylon. Now, Babylon has been mentioned. So the stealing, we actually could start getting a good chronology here. The stealing or the capturing of the Ark of the Covenant goes to Babylon. And it must stay there. And then does Babylon fall with Constantine?
Yes.
Does it fall earlier during the Roman Empire?
No.
All right, so Constantine takes over Babylon for his period, that period of history. So Babylon passes on to Constantinople, right? That's in the Middle East artifacts. You have the Chinese artifacts and the Korean artifacts. Have they overlapped with Constantinople before Charlemagne, 400 and 500 AD when Rome collapses and Constantinople kind of takes over? Is China and Tibet, are they in touch with Constantinople's techniques and artifacts?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I suppose that the Tibetans are teaching the Christians something.
They are.
So that is it's like a New York City where many cultures meet. Many, many religions from all over the world. It's for those that can travel to Global Village centered in Constantinople.
Yeah.
So the word Ottoman, when does it start getting called an Ottoman Empire? Who were the Ottomans?
They were the rulers over not so clear, Bob. got to keep going. I don't know.
Okay, Constantine and his empire was not Ottoman.
No.
It's later, and it's we have the Muslim Arab empire surfaces. How does, say around 1000 AD, how does that affect at the peak of the of Baghdad and the Muslim empire, how does that affect the Ottoman empire? Did they have wars or did they get along?
They got wars.
Okay. Did any of the artifacts get stolen to Baghdad?
Yes.
Did the Ark of the Covenant go there?
No.
All right. The jewels, okay, if they go to Baghdad, did they ever get returned to Istanbul or Constantinople?
I say no, but yes, there was some retribution later.
That would be, I guess, around the time of the Black Plague, I guess, for Europe. When the Arab Empire is strong for a long time. Okay, so there's an intermingling of the high priests of the Tibetan religion, the Christian Coptic Church religion, and the Arabs, and the Koreans, whatever they were. There were some kind of Hindus or Buddhists, I guess. These people all mingling and sharing knowledge.
Yes.
So are images of Baghdad being the capital of the Muslim Empire, say around 1000 AD, or I don't know if it was the capital, but it was a major place. If we expand our images of the planet and the cultures and think of them as at least the elites or the priests of those periods, including the Tibetans, can travel to Baghdad and mingle their secret knowledge.
Yeah.
That's a better image of what was going on back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting. So, did some kind of rupture happen over the last 1,000 years where the intermingling of the knowledge got shattered a bit and everybody retreated to their respective countries and religions and there was no dialogue anymore?
Yeah, we wanted to say yes, but we don't want to set you off on a false premise.
Yeah, because the priests and that, they all stayed in touch.
They did.
Yeah, all. And that would be a, quote, spiritual Illuminati.
Yes.
Yeah. And many of those priests in Korea, Baghdad, Constantinople, would have traveled to Shangri-La in Tibet and experienced it, those that were capable of it.
Okay, yeah, on that, yes. If they were capable, yes.
So there are repositories of these, of this traveling, intermingling, cultural, spiritual Illuminati history that are, does the Vatican get involved with it?
Yes.
That's after the Dark Ages, I guess, maybe the Medici. Ah, the Florentines and the Renaissance, they must have tapped into this.
Yeah.
So an aspect of the various cultural renaissances in history in different countries is this spiritual Illuminati aspect, which is the unknown history.
Yeah.
That these renaissances are triggered by spiritual knowledge, and as Ian has said, the Ottomans and various empires were built on this kind of knowledge.
Yes, indeed.
Especially the Ottoman. Can we just check the Ottoman, the beginning of the Ottoman, Carol, on the Wikipedia? And while you do that, I better shift my phone. I'm going to just take a break here and change my battery. Ion?
Take the second one.
Okay.
It dropped. It's been used, the first one? You put the dates on the Ottoman, Carol?
Ottoman Empire. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Ottoman Empire or Ottoman State. Modern Turkish, what do we see?
Just look under the history section.
At the height of its power, 16th to 17th century, let's see. History. Rise 1299 to
1453. That starts bringing in the nice Templars and stuff like that.
With the demise of the Seljuk Sultanate of Rum, circa 1300, Turkish Anatolia was divided into a patchwork of independent states, the so-called Gaza Emirates. By 1300, a weakened Byzantine Empire had seen most of its Anatolian provinces lost to 10 Gaza principalities. One of the Gaza Emirates was led by Osman, from which the name Ottoman is derived.
What year is he? What year is Osman, Carolyn? You just click on his name, I give you the
Well, they're still in the 1300 span.
Man, that's Marco Polo. What's the dates on Marco Polo, his activity?
Marco Polo... Marco Polo, September 15th, 1254 to January 9th, 1324.
Right, so, and you got the 1299. So, Ion, I'm back. There's an interesting intermingling of the Romans, represented by the Italians, represented by Marco Polo, or the Venetians, going to China. You have the Ottoman Empire starting to get established. That is showing the leading into the Black Plague. This is the 100 years during the Black Plague. That's an important breeding point.
Yeah.
Co-mingling point of the, you could say the global village for the spiritual elite starts then.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So now they don't have full understanding of the artifacts they have, all the different cultural, spiritual Illuminati priests.
That's right.
But they do know how to go into the rift and all these astral phenomena arts. You know, they have the knowledge to do that. And it can leak out among different citizens who become sages and that. But the actual artifacts they have, the history of that is not clear. That's what we're clarifying, that history.
Yeah.
Now, are the emerald tablets circulating in people's knowledge, this commingling at the time of 1300, 1400 AD, the Black Plague period, are the emerald tablets knowledge, or at least one of them, circulating?
No.
They're relatively hidden, or not known of at that point.
Right.
Only the Knights Templars know of it. Yeah, the Knights Templars are part of this period, and do they mingle with the spiritual Illuminati from all the other cultures and religions around the planet?
No.
They separate themselves.
Right.
And do they use that separate position to be an important factor in world economies as mercantilism takes over?
Yeah.
All right, so... So that's an interesting aspect. And now, do they have some of the artifacts?
Yes.
But they have the Emerald Tablets. That's what they have that other people, other cultural priests are not aware of or only get rumors of, right?
Did you say have or had?
Say from 1400 or even before, whenever the Knights Templars received the Emerald Tablets, from that period on for the next... hundreds of years, other cultural, spiritual Illuminati priests hear of the Emerald Tablets but don't get to experience them because the Knights keep it to themselves.
We don't like it. Can't get there from now.
Yeah, because the Knights Templar don't have them anymore. They lost them.
Oh, when did they... We heard that the other day, Carol, right?
Yeah.
Now, when did they lose them? Did that get established?
Oh, it was just before Manasseh.
No, come on. We're doing... You were clear. You were flowing well there, Ion. The Knights Templars are... There were 1,100 of them around the time of the plague. Do their numbers stay that constant over the next 500 years?
Yes, because some are added, you see.
Okay, and are initiated.
Yes.
And they ponder with the rest of them over the Emerald Tablets.
Yes, and try to figure it out and have all their codes and rituals and vions and all their different conceptually aspects of their knowingness and blah, blah, blah.
And what is Vion? What's that word refer to?
Isn't that like vittles?
Food, you mean?
Yep.
Oh, okay. But the point is, they're reading the tablets and trying to create rituals out of it to do what they don't know what, but they hope it's triggered, a catalyst. But they do, some of them know how to go into the rift and do the astral arts, right?
Really?
Oh, okay. No. They do they? Do they know?
Not so much.
Is there anybody in that period? So there's no. Yeah, I know you. I'll just say for the record. So there's nobody in that period who's aware of the Emerald Tablets.
Well, maybe aware of it, but you've got it still. You can have somebody draw you a diagram of a cordless telephone, but if you don't know how to put it together and you don't know how to get it power to it and you don't know how to turn it on and you don't know how to activate it, what the hell good is it to you?
Right, so I'll say the question this way. There were people who learned the arts of getting into the rift and that and experiencing their doubles. All that stuff was developed by different individuals, and they didn't necessarily know about the Emerald Tablets.
Not necessarily. That is exactly correct.
Right.
But here's the other aspect that you're leaving out that we were hoping you'd get to, but we're going to help just a little bit.
Great.
About those on the other side of the rift who had the ability, capacity, and got it, and came over on this side to have interaction.
Good point. I need to image that everything that's going on in this side, same thing is happening over there.
Flip back to your last episode of your Fringe.
Yes, that's right. The towers had not fallen. For those that live in the other side, from my perspective, the other side, they're in a world like I'm experiencing.
Yes.
Yes. And they are asleep there, too. Many people are in the children of darkness, children of light, all the same.
Yes.
The same phenomena is happening over there. And,
yes.
And so the more enlightened ones can come to this world. And is there anything different going on in our world or in their world different from us that is noteworthy?
They got Coldplay.
Ah. So is that world, did they have World War II?
Nope.
So they're the world where it's a, quote, a better world, where everything went along smoothly.
No. You won't catch us sorting the evil ones out amongst you. No. They have same contrast, but different contrast. They just don't fight over food.
Now, what allowed them to get to that condition in their past?
Separate sets of conditions, just like your 911 changed the entire legislation of how the Patriot Act is invoked.
Well, was there a Leonardo da Vinci on that side, correct?
Yes.
And there were everybody, there's a J.W., there's a Carolyn, there is a Hitler on the other side. They may not,
no.
If they didn't have a World War II, they didn't have that.
Right.
But Hitler would have to have a double. So Hitler would be doing something different at the time.
He's on the radio, Bob.
he's on the radio, and he's talking nicely.
Yes.
Or maybe he's ranting away, trying to get the war going.
Well, but see, he wasn't repressed on that side like he was this side. It was a different aspiration. You also don't have a Churchill.
Right, but there has to be a double for Churchill.
There is, but not the way Churchill is recorded in history over here.
Right, he could be just a nice, he could be a baker.
He's a stonemason, and he builds walls, and he did great at it.
Okay, so we've talked about the Churchill on our side wanting to build walls and building walls. So I may be doing things that my other self is doing, and some of what my other self comes over here and does my stuff, and maybe does it differently, and then I go over to the other place and do it differently over there. Is that right?
in San Bernardino, California.
Is where I'm in the other one. Ah.
Yes.
So I'm doing my beach stuff in San Bernardino in the other world.
Yes, and what's your profession? They told you.
Yeah, I'm an accountant.
That's right.
Hey, Carolyn. I wonder if Carolyn's listening. Did she go to the beach? This is good stuff. This is actually
a... Yeah, I'm there. I'm here.
This is good, Carol. We're getting descriptions.
Oh, yeah. Where's my other self in the other world?
You are an esthetician.
That's like cosmetics, you know, in a beauty bar?
Yeah, and in what location?
We are in San Bernardino.
Are Bob and I together there?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, we hooked up.
Well,
except it's role reversal. Bob's actually running the boat.
But the Evergreens...
I like this world better then.
Yeah, the Evergreens had me as an accountant in San Francisco, but not married. Well, they said if Carolyn had... We'll give them a note. If Carolyn said no, I'd be an accountant. So it turns out Carolyn did come to California.
Of course.
On the other route. So we did get married later. Very interesting. That are in San Bernardino. Where did we grow up?
Chicago.
I'll say we're Americans. Okay. Let's see. So that's very interesting. So there is a double of everybody, but they're doing different things. And they're doing different things from what they do in this life. Now, do they touch on each other? Do they change places? I think Iona said that sometimes when Carolyn can't find something in the fridge, it's because she was possessed by the other Carolyn. Something about that. You want to clarify that? The other Carolyn, or she went off to the other world and is not paying attention in this world, correct?
I don't know. That's a stretch.
Okay, when JW... The eyes of JW that are looking for something in the fridge and he can't find it, are those the eyes of the other JW from the other side who have taken over the body and they don't know what they're looking for?
No.
Okay, then how would you explain that gap?
Well, you have the duality here as well, remember?
Oh, you got the dual. In other words, there's another version of me here.
Yes.
But it's in my body.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not a physical other person, you know.
Right.
Yeah, oh, very interesting. So the reason there are two of everything, because there has to be two of everything for anything to exist, it has to have its complementariness.
Or contrast.
Or its contrast, right, yeah. Because how could you know it?
Right.
So these principles of contrast, which is what the yin-yang kind of refers to, right?
Yes, it is indeed.
John Wheeler and the modern 20th century physicists who started to move into matter and antimatter, were they thinking of yin-yang relationships?
No.
No. Matter of fact, it might help them to do that, right?
Again?
As a matter of fact, it might help these physicists to do that. Bring it
yes.
in. Yeah. Can I begin to build a new physics based on what I'm learning here?
Yes.
How much would I learn traditional physics language? Let me just say this. I can imagine learning it, but then I'd have to drop it. But I would have to know the language. So how much of the language does one need to know? Or can I create a new language?
You create a new one right here, right now. Why can't you there?
There being where?
Here.
I'm creating a new language here right now?
Well, of course.
You mean in reference to Ion?
Well, or in reference to you.
Okay, I'm creating a new... understanding of matter is what you mean. Right now I'm learning new aspects of matter of my universe. So I can put that into a formula or a language. Now this is what Walter Boward said, my chart would get more complicated and it would involve time. But of course that would be killing time probably, canceling out time.
Right.
Is there anything in Jack Sarfatti's work, S-A-R-F-A-T-T-I, who I'm email contact with, he's pretty interesting. He's trying to make a physics out of the astral phenomena. Not exactly what we're doing, but he's allowing that to enter his physics. Is there something, a concept in his work that you would say I could build from?
Not so much.
So I start anew.
Right.
All right, so what, you know, let X equal what? The unknown?
I'm sorry, what?
Let X equal, you know how in physics, let X equal this, let Y equal that, and then you start making formulas.
Right.
So the normal traditional XY grid, that calculus grid, I guess it is, that is obviously inadequate. And Ion, as mentioned, put the Y through. Have
yeah.
the Y. Would we begin with XYZ in those relationships?
Yes, and like plane geometry of your logarithms and that kind of stuff.
Now, how could I create a formula that does not get people down the rabbit hole?
Well, you just create it and tell them and retell them and tell them again and then tell them what you told them and then tell them what you meant to tell them and then tell them what you're telling them to tell them to tell them that they can tell, be told.
Okay, what could be a symbol for this world as opposed to the other world? Any suggestions?
An upside down infinity mark.
Upside down infinity. Well, that would be vertical.
Vertical.
A vertical infinity mark, okay. What would be a symbol for the other world? The double. The double world. The same world in the other place.
Yes.
What's a symbol?
So vertical, lateral.
You mean a lateral infinity sign? Horizontal infinity sign. Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, are you saying a horizontal infinity sign?
Yes.
Ah, okay. So you got a vertical and a horizontal. Now, in traditional Gnosticism, apparently there's the symbol, there's vertical symbolism and horizontal symbolism. That is already in the lore of magic.
Yes.
So we would expand, we would take those very concepts and fill them out, complete them. Correct? We would complete them.
Yes.
Yeah, and building on them. That reminds me, the Knights Templars, did they create the Rosicrucians or the Freemasons?
No.
Because many people wonder if the Freemasons go, some say they go as far back as Egypt. Others say they started at the time of Francis Bacon. Could you give me the timing on the origins of the Freemasons? Did they come from the Coptics? Did they come from other things and change their name?
They were played on from a way to allow the Knights Templar to have a way to flow.
So the Freemasons were an extension of the Knights Templars?
Well, sort of.
A cover, a branch office that was given more importance than the Knights Templars.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Yeah, very interesting. Such CIA masters in the 20th century, like James Jesus Angleton, Alan Dulles, Reinhard Galen, did they have access to the Knights Templars?
Yes.
Did they fight wars on their behalf?
No.
They tried to compete with the Knights Templars, I imagine.
Yes.
Could Reinhard Galen go into the Rift?
No.
Now, when I ask if someone goes into the Rift, that's, we'll call that an astral art. There are other astral arts, like astral projection. And
he wanted to, he just couldn't.
He didn't have the ability to visualize it or to connect with the... He didn't have access to the right equipment to do it?
He had the knowing, he just couldn't get there.
Because some of his associates could do it.
No, they wanted to.
Because they heard about it through the mediums during...
Yeah.
Yeah. But Werner von Braun could do it.
Not so much.
Is there any particular well-known Nazi who could do it?
Yes, and we don't like the question.
Well, who in the Nazi party of that period, who lived past the Nazis and went on to wherever, who could do the rift of that, coming out of that period and hearing the knowledge and then developing the ability? Albert Speer?
Albert Schweitzer.
Ah, Schweitzer, yes. That reminds me, did Alan Dulles and James Jesus Angleton, were they aware of the Knights Templars?
Yes.
It's part of intelligence information, if you're in that level of profession, right? You find out about it. And it's like the Knights Templars have so much wealth that they're untouchable, so to speak.
Well, maybe their illusion was that, but...
Right, but they were pretty solid. Were the Knights Templars related to the Vatican Bank?
No.
Okay. The Vatican built up its own wealth.
Yeah.
Wealth vault. And were the Knights of Malta their representatives?
Yeah.
So there's the difference between the Knights of Malta and Knights Templars. James Jesus Angleton, Alan Dulles, did they try to acquire wealth for themselves while they worked for the public and the CIA?
Yes.
Yeah. That would be an agenda that people of that level of secrecy could accomplish.
Hold on just a second.
Okay.
Sorry, we're having to make a new caller.
Well, let me know when to start again.
Just a second. We had to make a new caller because the black is black, and the white is white in the mountains. We can't do shading with that much contrast, so we have to make gray.
Okay.
Do the shading because of the way the sun would fall.
Yes.
We actually shade the icing to make it look as though it would look if it were real.
Yeah.
Very important, Bob.
Yes. Well, the audience is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Shall I continue, or?
Yes, you're okay.
The present economic disturbance, collapse, illusion, gnashing of teeth, has that affected the Knights Templars' wealth?
No.
Has it affected the Knights of Malta's wealth?
Yes.
Has it? Now, I remember JW telling me to avoid investing in Italy. That might be part of the reason. Has it affected the Chinese wealthy?
No.
So it's the church has suffered a bit in this situation.
Yes.
Now, why were they vulnerable?
Because they opened themselves up to false premises that made that reality their creation.
Right, they got suckered into the derivatives economy.
Well, sort of, yeah.
Yeah. Any other ancient institutions that suffered like the Vatican?
The pound.
Okay, the British government, but not the Queen.
Not the Queen.
Right. I'm asking, why would they want to donate their artifacts to the Ionic movement? What will be the charisma that they perceive?
It'll be you dancing naked to I Feel Like a Woman.
All right. Okay. Again, it's all about me again.
Always, Bob.
All right. So that's to be unfolded. So we've got the... How many people...
243.
In the Pentagon. Yeah, I'm going to say, how many people in the Pentagon go into the rift?
243.
And they were trained by the Nazi German Jewish scientists?
Yes, and have a whole team that does just that.
Now, you go back and forth in the rift. That's a nice...
If you know, now,
they don't come
yes,
back.
Yes, you do, but they aren't very good at getting back.
So they get lost. And then they are reported to have died?
Well, they just go missing, you know.
Yeah, go missing.
They move to Canada.
So that's what the Bermuda Triangle is, maybe.
That's exactly right.
Right, and other places where things disappear.
Yes, over on Japan side, there's one of those.
And that's so that is not known by anybody.
Right.
But if you know how to go into the rift, you don't have to go through the Bermuda Triangle, correct?
Right. That's correct.
You go through wherever you do it. And if you go through the rift, you may not find out what the Bermuda Triangle means.
Well, we don't understand that question, but yes.
Okay, does the Queen, who can go through the rift, does she know the facts about the Bermuda Triangle?
Yes.
All right, so one could figure it out, speculate. Or, you know, do you get on the other side and are told where the locations here are? You know, some of these questions are answered.
No.
Okay. You have the 243 in the Pentagon not doing too good. Did JW meet some of them? Not going to get that. Okay. So we're in the Pentagon. Okay, what is the advantage of experiencing the rift? Does it give you some kind of spiritual allow and relax kind of mentality in this being, in this world here, and you have more power or more energy or more bliss? They go together?
No.
So what is the advantage of knowing about the rift?
Well, it's drawing parallel experiences.
Right. So you can, the experiencing of it is interesting, but it doesn't mean you are you haven't gone beyond the cycles, as the two tablets back, I think, expressed. Doesn't mean that you're, quote, spiritually evolved.
No.
I think it would make you a little more detached about conventional knowledge.
Maybe.
So this is interesting. We could build a new science on this. But we need the artifacts, maybe.
No.
Don't need the artifacts.
You need to understand the artifacts.
Right. Okay. Can we go into describing the artifacts?
That's not until Tablet 8.
Oh, okay. All right. So the... So, is there life on other planets and other constellations?
Yes.
That is not connected to our physical lives here?
Right.
Yeah. When will we make contact with representatives from those civilizations, which are not our future, I'm assuming?
You already have.
All right. So we in this planet we can interact with future, and that there's that what we call that local ET experience, experience your own future, but there is other human bodies, physical bodies or some forms, in other parts of the universe. Now in there. Does their future connect with our future?
Yes.
So we could see vehicles from their future here.
Yes.
So we've already had contact with entities from the other civilization defined as not from the future.
Right.
They live right now, even though they may not have the same, they're not the same level of development as we are. Actually, they can travel here. Are they the ones, I'm assuming they're not the ones who made contact in China, because the ones in China were from the future, correct?
Right.
So who is, where has there been contact with entities from other constellations, galaxies, planets?
Redefined.
Has there been contact? Yes. Who made the contact?
Nostradamus.
Hmm. All right. So he was shown the future?
Yes.
And how was it shown to him? Through, was he transported to the future?
Indirectly, yes. As much as he would allow.
Right. So what did the beings look like to him when they appeared to him 500 years ago, approximately?
As you gotta realize there's a time issue. It's more like Los Angeles now.
What did the ETs, where were they, what constellation planet were they from?
Los Angeles.
Well, that's our future. From now, but was it from the other side of the rift?
Yes.
So Nostradamus went through the rift?
Yes.
And he saw Los Angeles of now over there in the other side of the rift, right?
Yes, 35 years ago.
Yes, and was he was given the ability to go through the rift by the ETs from the other constellation?
Yes, the same ETs that dance with your emerald tablets.
Hmm. And those ETs that dance with the emerald tablets 32,000 years ago, and they deposited those emerald tablets with who on our physical plane here?
They just hid them.
Who found them of our world?
Well, I guess that would be, you'd have to check with Thor with that, wouldn't you?
Yes, Thor. Okay. Where were they hidden? Near Egypt?
Yes.
Okay. How many thousands of years were they hidden?
Well, you're just going over them now, so probably, what, 3 months ago?
No. They were hidden in Egypt, at least by 3000 B.C., I would say.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So 6,000 years ago.
Yes.
Now, did you say what constellation the ETs who danced with the emerald tablets, where they were from?
No.
Can you tell me where they were from?
No.
That must not be known right now?
Well, it's a false premise, so you can't get there from now.
Okay, no, we've established there are ETs from other parts of our universe. Are other parts of our universe in the future, in the past, in a different time zone?
Listen to your question. Ask your question sanely and we'll answer it.
Okay, I thought that was, we were leading there. I'm trying to establish that there are ETs that have made contact with us that are not from our future. They're from...
Well, now, that's the false premise, see? If they're ETs, they're extraterrestrial. Well, if you get something from... If a caveman looked at a spaceman, he would be an ET. And it might be his great-great-granddaddy, depending on which was first, Manasseh or Dave.
I see what you mean. On the level of the infinity circle, yes, we don't know who came first, David or Manasseh. Okay. And the reason you played that game with me yesterday was to remind me of the infinity loop.
Right.
Okay.
So these ETs that you're speaking of could just as easily be future experiences, and it would be considered extraterrestrial, just like your UFOs that you drive yourself.
Okay, so if we read in the Emerald Tablets about how the stars are what we're going to dance among, then we're going to have to change our sense of distance. As I used to say 30 years ago, the stars are in your eyes.
Yes.
And so the calculation that Bodhi's is, you know, many light years away from us, is not applicable under these new awareness conditions that Ion is referring to.
Right.
So that the linear plane of me going out to the Buddhist constellation, that's like time. That's an illusion. And so making contact, those stars are inside me. If I can go through the rift and travel through the astral arts, then I will be able to go to the Buddhist constellation.
Yes, that's absolutely right, and it won't be anything extraterrestrial about that.
It'll be in my universe.
That's exactly right. So see how you get on a false premise and get tangled up and can't get there from now?
That's right.
Very, very perfect words.
By you?
And the cake is done.
Perfect words by you?
By you.
Okay. So if I look at myself with spokes of a wheel going out, and not even being limited by that image, but just radiating out, then I include all the constellations that the Hubble telescope is straining to pick up.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's how huge we are. Well, it's not even, it has no dimension. But
right.
But the statistics of science make these things be far away and bring in factors of time.
Okay. Now you're getting there. That's better. We can work with that. Because, see, you don't have any negative negating in the process. Okay, now, from that aspect...
Yeah.
Now you can ask your questions.
All right. This man having a Snicker bar substitute.
There you go.
Can you taste that?
Yes, because JW just had a finger full of good icing. Sugar and lard and butter. It just can't get better than that.
You mean that means because he tasted that, you can taste what I just ate?
That's what caused you to eat what you just ate.
Oh, now you're getting back at me. Ah, that's good. So we interchange the desire. Okay, so... if we are perceiving all time, all space, swallowed up by my universe.
Why don't we say instead of if, why don't we say when?
Yeah, now that I've arrived there, at that state of perspective, mind, knowing,
yeah.
There's not many questions.
Oh, that's the point of the non-physical part, see? That's why the non-physical can't create.
Because it doesn't have any questions.
There's no resistance. There's no asking. There's no wanting. The website's already there. The online account's already set up. People already deposit money into that account. People are already after that information. People want to be your groupies. They're already there. So if you're already there, you know what I'm saying? If it's a constant orgasm, there's not much chase.
That's right.
Right?
Right. So the from IE to Rai, or from Rai to IE.
E-I-E-I-O.
What was that? E-I-E-I-O. What was that? That was...
There was a man who had a farm and...
Oh, yeah. No, E-I-E-I-O.
No. Not that's B-I-N-G-O. E-I-E-I-O. Old MacDonald had a farm.
Now, that would be the Children of Light had a space-time.
No, that's MacDonald. He had a farm.
As a metaphor.
On his farm, he had a pig. E-I-E-I-O.
But I'm just saying, let's say there's... wisdom hidden in the nursery rhyme.
Oh, my stars. Okay, so you want to go to Brahms? Okay.
Oh, Brahms did that?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a second. I was just looking at the words, old MacDonald had a farm. We can call that a, look at the Emerald Tablets. It's a dimension, a space-time, and there's battles between them, within them, between dark and light. You could project that.
Well, now, we don't like the battle word.
Okay, but there's an interaction.
Yeah, contrast. Yeah.
There's a contrast.
See, contrast doesn't necessarily have to be a battle. Contrast can be deciding, do I want to go to the beach now or do I want to go to the beach in 15 minutes?
Right.
That's not a battle, but it is contrast. If you really want to go now and you can't go 15 more minutes, then there you go.
Right, and I'm projecting that contrast theme into some of these nursery rhymes. It's like projecting the meaning into the Emerald Tablets.
Yes.
Yeah, though the Emerald Tablets are talking about something. It's interesting. The Emerald Tablets talk about stars. They are trying to erase one's perceptions of space-time.
Yes.
In the tablet. You know, they're erasing.
And if you had just stayed with that, the world would have been a totally different place because all of a sudden all these things that everybody has such regard or disregard of, it would actually, well, it's like little kids get it, and then you spend their life giving them contrast for them so them to get away from it. That's why little kids can see dead people, spirits.
That's right. It's
because nobody told them they couldn't.
And that's why the Tibetans, we look on the Tibetans as like a little kids.
Because they never had the interaction, and Lou Dobbs didn't ever tell them that it was over and that they had hope, they should have hope for so much more.
Well, just as the printing press caused the illusion of time.
The alignment of cohesiveness.
With time.
Well,
Are you referring to the printing press when you say the alignment of cohesiveness?
Yes.
Yeah.
It put it on a piece of paper, so it must be true, and then it got to be printed, and didn't change at all. The typeset was the same. So it organized and orchestrated the oneness of whatever the piece of paper said.
That's right, and the
that was the James Joyce aspiration that he was trying to wrangle around.
Yes.
And around. But
okay, now just hold that thought. It's a good one. James Joyce recognized the limitations of a book.
Yes.
And then he tried to write a book overcoming the limitations.
Well, and then did he?
Yes, because McLuhan figured it out and translated.
But did he think he did?
No, he didn't. He
exactly. There's the sons of darkness and the sons of light and the blah, blah, blah that the Emerald Tablet was trying to talk about. The battle was raging within himself.
Right, and McLuhan was the Thoth who came and plucked him out of it? Raised his awareness up to a new level?
Such illusions of grandeur, aren't they wonderful?
Well, no, McLuhan explained the effect of the printing press.
Well, I understand that, but then some people don't agree with him either, so...
That's right, but James Joyce, you just said James Joyce, was working on the limitations and paradoxes of book.
Yeah, of time, yeah.
Of book and time and concepts. And he knew that the book elaborated some problems with time or enhanced the concreteness of the illusion of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
for example, why do they call it awake?
It was the death of time.
Well, no, it isn't. When you're you have awake.
Yes.
Awake. Look, go to your Wikipedia.
No. I know what awake is. Let's just
Tell me then what you think awake is.
Awake is a funeral party.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why do they call it awake?
The Irish call it awake. I think we touched on this before, but the...
awake.
Is it becoming awake?
Is awake, yes.
Yeah.
It's no longer sleep.
That's
awake.
Right, yeah. And that is a misnomer because we aren't asleep when we're living here. We don't know that we're...
And sometimes you come to that realization when you're stone cold dead laying in the funeral parlor.
Yeah.
And they're hosting a party which is called awake.
And you actually, I see, Joyce is wrestling with the concept that we are asleep and we wake up when we die.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't die, see.
That's right. And so the spirit that's moved on looks back and said, I didn't die. There's no problem. But I shouldn't have come over to the, I didn't have to come over to the physical to realize that.
Mm-hmm.
I come over to the non-physical to realize that. That's... I don't know, there's probably no regret, but that's the knowing that happens when you die. You go, oh, well, geez, what was the problem? I should have stayed back in the physical. Is there that kind of regret on the in the
No dark? Regret, no regret.
No regret. But it's a knowing, right?
Yes.
Okay. So so Joyce is wrestling. Was Joyce exploring the occult? The astral arts or anything like that?
Asked and answered.
He was exploring, yes. Yes, he was exploring.
Well, of course he was, because he was coming to the place. He just now got to the point where he could figure it out. So he spent his whole life trying to write it down. He couldn't get it written down, and he couldn't get there from now. So he died with the thing not being done.
Right. Now, did he astral project before Ulysses came out in 1922? I mean, when he was he dealing with that when he was writing Ulysses? You know, with his awareness of astral arts.
Yeah, we are, yes.
Oh, okay, good.
We are, sorry, because as you get really, really, really sweet in your flow, it gets faster and faster and faster for us.
Good.
But it is, for the record, it's very important that you can that you continue, because otherwise...
Yeah, I don't. You'll say yes, and it's no matter. I just finish the sentence.
That's fabulous, because... Yeah.
No, that's good. So the...